Turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. Why don't we have our Bibles open in Colossians chapter 1? Let's stand and read the first five verses together. A word of the living God. Pause at the punctuation. Let's try to stay together. First five verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are in Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to praise and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us. You saved many of us. And, oh, God, we do pray that you'd save more. I ask you to touch every heart in this room today. May we be touched by your word. Have your way in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you be seated, please? There's an awful lot in this chapter. I love Colossians. In fact, I love Paul's epistles and especially some of his smaller ones. My favorite book is Philippians, but Colossians comes along there real good, close behind. And there's a whole lot that could be studied in this chapter, and I looked at all of it. But I decided to just go on the thanksgiving of Paul. Paul's thanksgiving. And I got to thinking about our thanksgiving. You know, I am thankful, but I'm a very selfish person. I don't know whether you are or not, but I'm thankful I was born in America. When I look around the world and I see all this mess in the world, man, I have to look up and God said, boy, thank you, Lord. Thank you I wasn't born over there. I'm thankful I was born in Texas. Now, those of you that weren't born here, well, I'm sorry for you, but I'm thankful I was born in Texas. I'm thankful I was born to some real simple, poor country people who love God. A Christian home. Man, what an advantage it is to have had your mother and daddy believe in the Word of God. To have a Bible in your house, be taken to Sunday school and church. That's a tremendous advantage. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I'm thankful for air conditioning. I grew up without air conditioning. I remember laying in the window at night, and there were six windows in that bedroom, and I remember putting a bed all the way over to the window with the window. There was no fan. We had no fan. We had no air conditioning. And I got my pillow in the window, and I'm just praying for a breeze. When I was in about the eighth grade, we old Burbank. I'm a Burbanker, Bulldog. Yeah, there you go. We played for the city championship of the eighth grade, football. There were only two players on our team, our Burbank team, that had tennis shoes. That was a quarterback and one running back. All the rest of us were barefooted. I tell you what, I'm thankful for shoes. There's so many little things I'm thankful for, and I go around, I think about it, and I thank God for it. I love my car. I love my 225 horses. Solomon would have given almost anything to have driven what I've got. Or what you got. You may have a junk Pinto out there somewhere. Solomon would have loved to be driving your junk Pinto. And not a complaining. You ought to be thanking God. I am convinced, and the older I get, the more I'm convinced that what Christians ought to be doing is thanking God. And Americans, We're working men and women. There are not many business owners in here or people who inherited their riches and are sitting back in king's palaces. But look what we do. We have air conditioning. We have food. We have food from Turkey and Chile and China and everywhere around the world. They bring it in here. You just go down to a grocery store and just go through, and there's so much you can't eat it all. You ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thanking God for all that we've been given. And even in a selfish way, we are the richest people, the freest people that have ever lived. And there's nobody to compare to us around the world. Nobody, no place. I've been a lot of places. Bless your heart, I'm thankful that I'm an American. I'm thankful that I have freedom. And then I'm thankful I'm saved. Man, I got a change in my life. Did you ever get a change in your life? I got a change in my life. I said, I love this book. I love this chapter. And I was looking at it, and I thought about Paul's Thanksgiving. Maybe on a little higher plane than mine. Maybe on a little higher plane than yours, but I want to point out a few things about Paul's Thanksgiving. What he gives thanks for in this chapter. Now, a lot of other things we could preach on, and I could even tonight talk about the supremacy of Jesus Christ and a whole lot of other things that are in this chapter, but I want to talk about his Thanksgiving. The Apostle Paul, look what it says in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the pastors from Colossae has been with Paul, and he'd been hearing about the church that's there. And he said, man, I am thankful for the faith that you have. What a blessing. Now, you know, you want something to discourage somebody, a church falling apart, a church getting split, a church dying, a church, the pastor runs off with a piano player or something like that. Somebody steals the church funds. That doesn't make you thankful. Man, you get real discouraged and whipped, and people in the church fussing and fighting. Two families get crossed with one another. That doesn't help you, but hey, what about a church with faith? Faith. You know, God doesn't necessarily bless hard work all the time. He blesses faith. This book is about faith. Brian was talking about it this morning, about believing the Word of God, believing I have God's Word in my hands. I do. I believe I have God's Word in hand. I can't explain it all. I don't even try to. I tell you what I do. I just believe it. I believe it and I preach it. How about a church with faith? Faith to trust Christ for salvation. Faith to repent of your sins and get them right with God. Faith to walk close with God. Faith to walk around with other believers and put up with each of us. You know what we have to do to have this? We've got to put up with each other. What you going to do with a family? You've got to put up with each other. All your kids the same? Man, I had 5 kids and they wasn't 2 of them the same. They're all different. After I'd raised 3, I thought, I know how to raise them. And then the 4th one come along, and she threw a couple of wrinkles at me. And I said, okay, now then, I really learned more. Now I know how to raise these little girls. And the 5th one came along, and she's still throwing wrinkles at me. How about a church full of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize there are a lot of churches today that don't have much faith in Christ? That's the truth. I've sat in them. I've listened to their sermon. I remember one time I was in a church here in San Antonio, and it was after I'd come back from Guatemala, and the church was literally packed to capacity at a pretty nice auditorium, maybe this size. And they had chairs in the aisles, and those chairs were full. Didn't hardly have a place for anybody to sit. And I sat there and listened to a man preach on the donkey that carried Mary. He never told anybody how to get saved. He never rebuked anybody for sin. I thought it was a complete waste, and I was burning. I wanted to stand up back there and start preaching. Because they weren't getting anything. And that is a shame. Praise God for the faith in the church. You got a church, you know some people that believe the Word of God and preach the Word of God, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful. Thankful for the faith that the church in Colossae had. He'd been hearing from this preacher. And he said, you know, I've heard good things about you. I've heard you believe. I heard you're faithful. I heard you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, not just faith, but faith in Christ Jesus. Faith itself will not save you. It's faith in Christ Jesus. It's what your faith is. There are a lot of people that have faith in the law. There are people that have faith in the Ten Commandments. There are people that have faith in the Golden Rule. Well, bless your heart, not a one of you has ever lived by the Golden Rule for a whole day at a time. And none of you have ever completed the law a whole day at a time. And when you let Jesus interpret the law for you, it's not just committing adultery that's wrong, it's lusting that's wrong. It's not just murdering that's wrong, it's hating. He said, if you have hate in your heart, you got murder. You're guilty of murder. Killing somebody. What is it? It's faith in Christ Jesus. That's what this church is founded on. It's what I live by. It's what you live by, most of you. And Paul said, I'm thankful for a church. I'm thankful for a church that has faith in Christ Jesus. And I am too. Because that'll not only save your soul and change your life, it'll bless you all the days of your life. And I can testify, I'm 74 years old. Every day I get up, it's a new gift from God. And we ought to be thankful. That's the first thing he said about that. He said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And notice the second thing. The love which you have to all the saints. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Love. It's a fulfilling of the law. Love is the greatest thing you can possibly do. Love is one of the greatest things you could ever experience. I love my wife. I've been loving her since she was 16 years old. Man, I was chasing that little girl down the halls of the school. And her mother wanted to know what we had to talk about all the time. I'd pick her up and take her to school. I'd take her home from school. Then I'd go out and pick her up that night, and then we'd talk on the phone in between. You know what? They said, you're too young. You don't know what love is. Well, I was in love at 16. I don't know about you. It might take you 25 or 35 or maybe never, but bless your heart, I got smitten. I said one time, why'd you give me so much time? I said, because I knew I had you. Boy, I tell you, what pride. But she did. She had me. How about the love to all the saints? That's a good thing to hear about a church. It's got love to all the saints. Wow. Are you in a church with love between the brethren? Do you love people? Do they love you? Do you feel it? It's like a family getting together and everybody loves everybody. And you shake hands and you say, hi, and how you doing? And we love you and praying for you. The love you have toward all the saints. And you know, somebody from New York, like a fellow named Mike Veach, he can come down here and he can come into this church and the church just loves him. And he loves the church. And we can go anywhere. I spent 3 years as a full-time evangelist, traveling most of the time, spending about 3 weeks away from home, but to any 1 week I was at home. I was dropped in on people I had never met in my life. I dropped in on Little Rock, Arkansas. Flew in on a plane. I'd never met the pastor. He just heard about me and he invited me to a meeting. And I flew into that meeting. And I get off the plane. I'm walking through the airport. And here's this guy, because I was a young guy, about 25, and he was probably 50. And he said, are you Lyndall Kincaid? I said, yes. Yes, I am. I said, are you the pastor of this church? He said, no, but I'm the one that keeps him from having one. Real good guy. good church. And they loved it. They loved the gospel. Do you love it? That's what the church of Colossae did. They had a love for all the saints. You know, if you are born again, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're my brother. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend eternity with you. I'm not going to spend a weekend. I'm not going to spend a vacation. I'm not just going to spend a month. I'm going to spend an eternity with you. You and I are going to be brothers and sisters. I think we're going to be brothers. Because Jesus was a man. The love you have to all the saints. Now, I don't know about you. Now, maybe you don't feel it, but I feel love. I feel loved. And I'm thankful. I look around here and I see people I've known for years and years, and I love them, and they love me. Not because anything greater than me, it's that we're both saved. We both have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven, and our sins have been forgotten in the forgetfulness of God. And how could anybody forget better than the God of the universe? If he says he forgets them, they're forgotten. He says he buried them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more. They're buried. You don't need to bring them up anymore. How about a church with love? Doesn't it feel good? And when the church is not in love, oh, you can feel that too. And doesn't feel near as good. You know what he said about this church at Colossae? He said, I'm thankful for the love you have for all the saints. Now look at the third thing. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereby you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Some people get depressed pretty easy. Some people have to fight something like that. But you know, the Bible does not lend itself to that. It lends itself to hope. If you're discouraged about something, something's bothering you, you might ought to think about looking to God. You might ought to think about in His Word. He said there's a hope laid up in you. What is my hope? My hope is that I'm going to meet Jesus one day face to face. My hope is I'm going to live eternity in heaven with Him. I'm not going to hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Jesus Christ is what makes the difference. And since I've come to Christ and I have faith in Christ, and He saved my soul and changed my life, I'm going to heaven. I've got a hope. If I get cancer in this body, I got a hope. I'm going to heaven. If I get hit by an 18-wheeler this afternoon, I got hope. I'm going to heaven. If I have some disaster come in my life, and I've had disasters, everybody has disasters. Somebody was speaking on the house, building the house either on the sand or on the rock here the other day, and the same storms came to both houses. I mean, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. But where are we different? We have hope. We have hope. You know why I have hope? The gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ loved me enough that He died in my place on the cross of Calvary, that He paid every sin I ever committed or I will ever commit. And that though I am worthy, He is willing to take me with Him to heaven forever. Now, there's some old people in this room. I'm being one of them. You ask them how long it took them to get here. And you know what they'll think? Well, it looks like about a month or a year. Those past years, they go by like nothing. All those past years, all those struggles, all those trials, and some of those bad times, I remember as good times now. Oh, they were bad times for me then. They were bad times for my family then, or bad times for the church then. But oh, I look back on them now, they don't look so bad. That time has just passed. What's 1,000 years going to be like? What's 1,000 years going to be like? You know what I have? I have a hope that I'm going to live forever with the God of the universe as my best friend. He loves me, and I'm going to love Him and love Him forever. And we're going to have sweet communion. And that is a hope that I have. In the midst of my darkest hour, and some of you in here, this week might be the darkest time you've ever faced. I know that happens. There's hope. But the hope is not that you'll overcome. The hope is not that everything's going to be made right. The hope is not that the world's going to change and be run by a great government. The hope is in Christ. The hope is in the gospel. If that gospel's true, praise God, what a blessing we have. And it is true. He talks about that church. And he was thankful for their faith, their hope, their love, and their hope. Look it down in verse 12. He gives thanks again. These are some of the richest, most powerful verses you'll ever read. What is he thankful for? He says, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Giving thanks. You having a hard time giving thanks this week? Burdens are troubling you. They're weighing you down. Your health weighing you down. Your finances weighing you down. Your children off in war weighing you down. You got problems in your family. They're weighing you down. Look what he says here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or that's suitable, where we fit in, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know what he said? I'm thankful to the Father that he's changed us. He took me where I didn't fit in, and he made me fit. He made me meet to be a partaker. You know, it's sort of nice to be with the group. It's sort of nice to be in the group. It's sort of nice to be on the team. Bless your heart. We got a very exclusive thing. I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to the church of the living God. And he said, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. God has changed me. God has changed you. You now fit in. Fit in with what group? The saints in light. Wow. I've been made a partaker. I'm suitable to be a partaker of the inheritance with the saints in light. Wow. You know, I got an inheritance from my dad and mom. Berlin got an inheritance from her dad and mom. Didn't make us rich. But you know what? I've got an inheritance. I've got an inheritance with the saints in light. Can you imagine what that is? That'll blow your mind. You can't get big enough. You just cannot describe it well enough. The inheritance of the saints in the light of God. Think about that. I have no idea. It's beyond my imagination to think what we're going to inherit, what the saints of God in the light of God, and the light that's coming from, it's coming from God. We're not worried about no sun up there. Some big other stars. No, that light comes from God himself. God is light. And I'm going to be a part. And he says, I'm suitable. He made me meet to be a partaker. How could I be a partaker with the saints of God in light? It's a miracle. It's a miracle of grace. It's a gift. How great a gift can that be? You ought to be thankful. Man, you ought to get up in the morning and say, God changed me. God made me his. God made me suitable. God made me fit in. With whom? The saints in light. The saints in light. All the people that have gone on before and are resting in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. Giving thanks that I've been made. I've been changed. I didn't fit in. You didn't fit in either. We didn't fit in with the saints in light. We fit in with the bums. We fit in with the drunks. We fit in with the rebellious. We fit in with the stupid. We didn't fit in with the saints in life, but that's one thing God has done for you by saving your soul. He's changed you now. He's done a work on the inside of your heart. He's made you a child of the King, and you now have an inheritance with the saints in light. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, there's another thing right here. It's about as big. Awful big. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know what darkness is? The devil is dark. God is light. Sin is dark. Righteousness is light. He delivered us from the power of darkness. To tell you the truth, I tried to quit smoking 8 or 10 times when I was in high school. First married. I couldn't quit. I loved to gamble. Gambling was my favorite pastime. Playing cards, poker. When I got saved and I quit gambling, my hands itched. And especially when somebody else was playing around me. When I quit smoking, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Oh, Lord. I just had a little New Testament in my pocket. I pull it out and just read a chapter and say, oh, Lord, I'm having a nicotine fit. Help me out. I covered the Bible, man, 20 times. The New Testament 20 times. The first year. How come? I had some addiction. I had some sin. I had some problems. I had some things that were controlling me and I couldn't control them. That's darkness. You know people have been in this church right now. Maybe some of you sitting right here. You're in darkness right now and you're not controlling your outcome. You need God. You need God to really save your soul and deliver you. Deliver you from the power of darkness. The devil does not have me anymore. I don't say that I'm not a sinner or that I don't get tempted or that he doesn't attack me, give me a hard time. Yes, I still have all of that just like you do. And it's amazing when you're even as old as I am, I don't have enough energy to do all the things I can imagine. They're still there. The temptation to sin, the temptation to wickedness, the temptation to pride, the temptation to selfishness, it's all still there. And yet I've been delivered. It does not have power over me as it once did. And who did that delivering? Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
It was Jesus. He delivered me from the power of darkness. I'll tell you what, there's some of you in here, you could say, I used to be on drugs, but I got delivered. Some of you say, I used to do this or that, but I got delivered. Yeah, praise God. That's what the gospel is. It can give deliverance. Delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Satan used to be my ruler. But the day I got saved, 54 years ago, the day I got saved, I got translated. You ever seen Star Wars? Or Star Trek, or whatever it is. And they'll get this little beam of light and goes boop, boop. He moves over here to another place. That's what happened to me. Really, spiritually, it's what happened to me. I got translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I changed kings. I changed families. I changed dominions. Man, I have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I have a new king. It's King Jesus. If you don't have Jesus as your king, make him king today. Get out on your face, call upon God and say, King Jesus, Lord Jesus. You see, the trouble was, many times I was my own Lord. Many times the devil was my Lord. But what happened to me the day I got saved was I got translated. He took me out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of my own self and my own rule, and placed me under Jesus Christ, and I knew Jesus Christ was King from that day forward. Lord Jesus, King Jesus, are you saved today? Are you really saved today? Then you've been put into a different kingdom. Translated under the kingdom of his dear son. And then look at verse 14. in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Redemption. I was sold under sin, and the Lord bought me. He bought me. What price did he pay? His own blood. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He hung up on the cross of Calvary. He stood in my place. And when he did that, my friend, he redeemed me. He paid my debt. I had a debt I could not pay. Some of you in here, right, maybe this morning, have a debt you cannot pay. The sins you've done, there's no way to take them back. No way you can go back and just remove the damage that you've done and the hurt that you've caused to yourself and to others. But there's one who can pay it, and he's Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he redeemed me, and I've been redeemed. He's saying, thanks be to God for what did he say? He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Delivered, translated, redemption. And I'm a partaker of the saints in light. Look down at verse 21. Verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Does that describe any of you? I think it describes all of you. It describes me. You who were enemies, alienated, wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise God. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you. Here's something else he's thanking you for. He's thanking God that God is going to present you. I noticed three things. Holy. I read about holy in the Bible, and I don't think I'm very holy. I really enjoyed teaching teenagers. I didn't think I would enjoy being a teacher, but it was a job I could get, and so I got it. And I finally learned to really enjoy it. I learned to love it. When I retired, it was hard for me to retire, but I felt I wanted to be back full-time at the church, and so I took less money and retired. I love torturing teenagers. They are so much fun. They got all this energy, and they're wiggling like a little puppy, and they're just jumping all around, you know? And you can pull their leg so easily. And I'm so sarcastic. I am sarcastic. And I love to have fun. I love to tease people, give them a hard time. Let me tell you what. I'm not very holy. Anybody in here really, personally, you walk holy? No, I don't. How about blamable? Yeah, I have to take blame for some things that I've done. Sometimes I'm not the best husband in the world. I know that's a surprise to you. I have to take blame sometimes for some things. I didn't think. I didn't do. I didn't put out the effort. I did it wrong. You ever had a car wreck that was your fault? I know you all have car wrecks that are not your fault. Most of them anyway. You tell how the other person did this and the other person did that. But I tell you what, I've been blamable. When I was a kid, I shifted into reverse one time and just backed up at a stoplight and caved the lady's car in. I was blamable. What can I say? What an idiot. I mean, I just drove my bumper right through her grill. And I'm getting ready to go real fast, you know, because the light's going to get ready to change. And I step on it. It was in reverse. You ever do anything like that? Yeah. You're not going to tell me, but yeah. I say, I'm so foolish, I'll let you know how stupid I've been. Yeah, I'm blamable. How about reproof? Well, I've been reproved. I've been reproved by my kids. I've been reproved by my wife. I've been reproved by my mother and my daddy. I've been reproved by almost everybody in this church. But do you know what that verse says? Look at that verse again. You talk about a great verse. You talk about a promise. Look at this. To present you. Why did he do all of this? How come he delivered us? He gave us an inheritance, made us partakers, delivered us, translated us, and redeemed us, forgave us of our sins, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Whew. Wow. Man, if that don't tickle your back, I don't know what does. If that don't stand the hair up on the back of your neck, something's wrong with you. Get a shave. You know what? I'm going to walk into the presence of Jesus Christ one day. Me. Full of fault, full of blame, full of reproof. But I'm going to walk in holy. I'm going to be holy. He's going to present me in the courts of heaven, holy, unblameable. I'm not going to have any blame there. All the things I've done, the bad things I've said, the bad things I've thought, I'm not going to be blamed. I'm going to stand in the presence of absolute holiness, in the light of God Almighty, unblameable. And then he said one more word, unreprovable. Wow. You mean I'm going to be able to walk into the presence of Almighty God, into the presence of Jesus Christ, into the presence of all the saints in glory, and I'm going to stand there holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. You ought to be thankful. If you're a saved person, you ought to be thankful. I can't think of any other, I don't know of any other response. Thankful. Go down to verse 26. I'm going to carry a few minutes past 12, but I'm going to finish this. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Mystery. We got a mystery in the Gentiles. Something that's been hidden from ages. Something that wasn't revealed back to Moses. Something that wasn't revealed maybe to Isaiah or to others like that. There's a mystery. The mystery is Christ in you. Who would have believed it? Who could have imagined it? Everybody says, well, you got to do this and do that. I remember one time I was asked to speak to a mosque of black Muslims in this town. And as I presented the gospel, it offended them. Everyone in there believed they, on their own, were going to live by their works. And they were holy enough to go to heaven. Get their 72 virgins. Or vegans. That's a joke. They didn't like it. They didn't like the gospel. They did not like thinking that they were not good enough to make it into heaven. They were not good enough to go and meet God. They were not. But you're not. You're not. Without Jesus Christ, you don't stand a chance. You can work till you're dying. I tell you what, our willpower is so great. You can see how I lose weight on all my diets. I'm on a diet almost every month. You see how it works. Sure glad my heaven doesn't depend on whether I lose pounds or not. It's a mystery. Back there they thought, well, is anybody going to be able to keep the law? And I know some frustrated religious people looked at that law and they said, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that. You're right. You can't do that. You can't make yourself righteous. If you quit smoking, drinking, cussing, gambling, cheating, lying, adultery tomorrow and never did it again, you can't make yourself righteous. And you're going to find that as long as you're in this body, you're going to have a sin problem. And what you got to do is recognize it, confess it, and let God forgive it. There was a mystery. It was a mystery hidden. What was it? That God was going to live in your soul. Wow. You are the temple of the living God. If you're saved, what's happened to you? God, the Holy Spirit, has come into you and changed you forever. Now you belong to Him. You don't belong to the world anymore. You don't belong to your whole human family that much anymore. You belong to God. God has bought you. He bought you with a price. God has saved you forever. You cannot be lost. And God's going to preserve you unto His holy kingdom. Wow. Paul was thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the mystery. What's the mystery? Christ in you. Man, I didn't understand that. I just knew I was a big sinner, and I got out on my knees and I began to confess my sin. And I told God there's something I couldn't do. Can you change me? Wow. One day. One day changed my life forever. One day. God came in. Christ in you. And by the way, that's your only hope of glory. That's the great mystery. That God could save the Gentiles by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Look at verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We preach and we teach warning. Some people don't like preachers who preach warnings. But that's what it says right here. Whom we preach and we teach, warning every man. We warn you, you need to come to God. You need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to get saved. And you need to do it now, because you don't have any other time than now. You got no guarantee of tomorrow. You got no guarantee you're going to live another. Yeah, you made 74 years. Well, I don't know how I made it. I never thought I'd get this old. I might make 95. Who knows? I might be hit by a truck today, 18-wheeler, and just step into the presence of the Lord Jesus. You can bury what's left behind. Whom we preach. We're preaching Christ. We're not preaching the church. We're not preaching religious. We're not preaching the Ten Commandments. We're not preaching the law. We're not preaching you reforming yourself. We preach Christ. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the sacrifice. Christ is the priest. Christ is the only way. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, not Mary. Not Peter. Not your pastor. Not the Pope. Not me. One mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. What do we preach? We preach Christ. We don't preach that we're holy. We don't preach we got a perfect church. We don't preach we got perfect people or perfect families. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. And by doing so, we're warning every man. And that includes you ladies too. Preaching, warning every man in Christ Jesus, that we may present what? We'd love to see every man saved. You know what he said? I'm going to be up there in heaven holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. That's perfect. And that's what Christ Jesus can do for you. He can make your future holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. But it's only in Christ. That's the mystery in the Gentiles. Christ in you. And that's your hope of glory. We're going to sing number 249.